The challenge that you face in the marketplace is this: to have the kind of Christocentric orientation, God-centered perspective in business, that you demonstrate it is possible to be righteous and to be a kingdom representative in a secular society. You are the salt of the earth.
Are you worth your salt? You'll be reminded of the meaning of that phrase on this episode of the Pathway to Purpose podcast from FCCI. I'm Ken Powell, and you just heard one of the most recognizable and loved voices among Christianity today. Yes, that's Dr. Tony Evans. And like so many of you, I've been a huge fan of Dr. Evans since my college years when Tony was a frequent guest speaker on the Moody Bible Institute campus in Chicago. And this message provides a powerful encouragement from Tony for Christian leaders to carefully examine our motivations and our business orientation to confirm whether we are contributing to a redemptive purpose for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. Here's Tony in part one of his message, Does Your Business Reflect God's Glory?
Some time ago, we had a problem in our home with cracks that appeared on our bedroom wall. These cracks were pretty ugly and needed to be fixed, so I called a painter. And I called the painter over and asked the painter to please rectify the cracks on my wall. Well, he went and he removed the old plaster, put up new plaster, repainted it, all looked well. I was happy, he was happy, and I paid him, he went home. The problem occurred, however, a month later when the cracks reappeared. Somewhat evangelically ticked off, I called him up and asked him, would he please rectify the cracks on my wall? He came back out, redid it, looked okay to me, so he left, all seemed well. About 45 days later, the crack reappeared. This time with its nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, and cousins. I had a family of cracks that had made themselves at home on my bedroom wall. So I figured I needed me a more competent person. I needed me somebody who really knew what they were doing. So I called another guy up and said, would you please come rectify this? He said, certainly. He came over. And looked at my wall, stood there, just staring at it. And then he looked at me and he said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you. I said, excuse me? He said, I can't help you. I said, wait a minute, don't you do this for a living? He said, yeah, but I can't help you. I said, why not? He said, because you don't have a problem with cracks on your wall. So I looked up at the cracks on my wall I was not having a problem with. Then I looked down at the crack in front of me who was telling me I was not having a problem with cracks on my wall. And I said, wait a minute. I see a crack. You see a crack. All God's children see a crack. There's a crack on my wall. Oh, he said, yeah, well, yeah, there's a crack on your wall. The problem is that's not your problem. He says, your problem is you have a shifting foundation. The foundation under your house is moving. The cracks on your wall are a symptom of a much deeper problem. And as long as you spend all of your time and money patching up those cracks, you will not have addressed what's really wrong. He said, sir, until somebody solidifies your foundation, you will forever be doing patchwork on your walls. A lot of time and money and effort has been spent, is being spent, to fix cracks, personal cracks, family cracks, social cracks, even cracks, designed to fix it. Even the large segment of the ministry I'm involved with, $5 trillion was spent since the Great Society program initiated in 65 by Lyndon Baines Johnson to alleviate the ills in our cities, particularly in the urban segments of those communities, only to discover $5 trillion later that 70 cents on the dollar went to administer 30 cents. that actually address needs, only to discover that those needs are as grave now in many ways as they've ever been. And that's because great sincere effort was put at fixing cracks, only to discover the foundation was still expanding and retracting, and there was no long-term effectiveness. And now there is a dismantling of many of those programs and another attempt by our president to address in a faith-based way some of the needs that cannot come from the top down, but must come from the bottom up. In your life, in my life, our challenge is to make sure the foundation is solid. The bigger the building you want to erect, the deeper the hole you've got to drill. The greater the superstructure is in your life or in your business that you want to develop, the higher up that ladder you want to go, the deeper down must be the foundation. It's quite difficult to build a skyscraper on the foundation of a chicken coop. You've got to have something underneath sufficient enough to handle what you're building above ground. It is easy today to go through the motions. You've done it, I've done it. It's easy to look like a Christian, look like you're running a Christian business. You get the plaques in the right place, have the prayer time. You can give the impression this is a Christian institution without necessarily having drilled a deep foundation. Our world is in desperate need today of men and women in the marketplace who are both technically excellent, who do what they do well, but spiritually mature, who do it on the proper foundation. Jesus Christ uses two analogies in Matthew 5, very, very simple analogies that he uses to describe the believer's presence in a secular society. What it looks like when Christians are in the world, the marketplace, and they're doing it right. Two simple analogies that lay out for us what it looks like when Christians are functioning in the marketplace in a theocentric way, a God-centered way. He says in his first analogy, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. His first analogy, talking to his disciples, is salt. You are the salt of the world. The salt of the earth. You're not the salt of the shaker, you're the salt of the earth. Now, that may not mean much to you, but for the listeners in the New Testament day, it meant a lot. You see, salt was a preservative, is a preservative. It may be used by folks still out in the country today as such, but back then it was a staple of preservation. Roman soldiers were paid in salt. They would get money, but they would also get bags of salt to take home to the wife, who would salt down food in order to preserve it. The earth here is postured as a decaying piece of meat that is needing to be preserved or salted down. Salt acts as an antibacterial agent, as a repellent to bacteria's attempt to get inside the meat and bring about decay. It is in the midst of this, Jesus tells his disciples, not the government, not the secular society, he says you, referring to his disciples, and in the Greek it's in the emphatic position. It literally reads, you and nobody else, you alone, you're it, You are the salt of this decay. You represent in this conference the salt of the business world. In a world where ethics don't mean anything, integrity is not high on the list, when money is the measure of all things, you are the salt of the decay. Your job is to leave the shaker and enter the meat. Salt in the shaker is good until it gets to performing its purpose, which is to leave it. Integrate into that which can potentially decay and extend its life. You are the salt of the earth. So Roman soldiers would be paid in salt. They would take their salt home. And when a Roman soldier didn't do a good week's worth of work, he would not get a full allocation of salt. That's where we get the contemporary phrase, so-and-so is not worth their salt. It comes from that historical backdrop of not having what it takes to be able to produce what is needed to preserve, to keep the decay. The challenge that you face in the marketplace is this: to have the kind of Christocentric orientation, God-centered perspective in business, that you demonstrate it is possible to be righteous and to be a kingdom representative in a secular society. You are the salt of the earth. There was a businessman who lived in the Old Testament in two pretty bad places to do business. His name was Lot. And his companies were located in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. We are told that Abraham's nephew had an expanding business. He had an expanding enterprise. In fact, he and Abraham could not both conduct their businesses in the same area because the expansion was so vast, they had to separate. It says that Lot looked out and saw the greener plains and said, I can do more business over there than over here. And so he moved down in the realm of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, he had a personal Christian orientation because the New Testament says his righteous soul was vexed. He was not pleased with the unrighteousness of Sodom and Gomorrah. God looked down at Sodom and Gomorrah and said, I've got to destroy this place. I've got to get rid of this place, these places, because this is an evil society. In Genesis 18, Abraham says, God, shall not the judge of the earth do right? I mean, that's not right for you to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the reason it's not right is because if you destroy these two cities, you will destroy the righteous with the wicked. And that's not legitimate for you to destroy the righteous people with the wicked people. God says to Abraham, well, Abe, pray tell, what should I do? Now, if you tell God he needs to do something different than what he plans to do, you pretty much need to know what you're talking about. Abraham says, well, I'll tell you what. Let me go to town and find 50 righteous. And if I find 50 righteous, will you accept the 50 righteous as a down payment on the unrighteous who are still living in these two cities? And God liked the idea. God said, okay, if you go to town and find 50 righteous who are going do it my way, for I will accept the righteous as a credit against the unrighteous. And therefore, I will not express my judgment to the unrighteous because of the presence of the righteous. Abraham went to town, came back a couple hours later, said, what about 45? He couldn't find 50 righteous. God said, okay, I go with that. You find 45, we can do that deal. He came back and said, I can't find 45. Will you go with 40? God said, I can go with 40. 30, 20, 10. God says, if you find me 10 folk who go live in this culture with my ethic, my worldview, who are going to reflect my orientation, I will accept even 10 as a down payment on the culture, and I'll spare the culture because of the 10. But don't come back anymore, because 10 is my minimum quota. That's as low as we go. So the question is, why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? It wasn't destroyed just because sinners were sinning. It was destroyed because the saints were nowhere to be found. But how can that be when Lot lived there? A successful Christian businessman who had a personal ethic, his righteous soul was vexed. How could it be? Because Lot suffered from the American disease of personal peace and affluence. He was okay. He was a good guy, personally. But he didn't understand his calling. His calling was not simply to have a personal religious ethic and a successful business. His calling was to extend righteousness in an unrighteous environment. But he was so into my profits and my expansion and what I am about that he missed his broader calling. He wasn't the salt of the earth. He was just personally successful. And his financial statement proved it. So God is now going to judge the cities. He's going to rain down fire and brimstone. He tells Lot, okay, you and your family get out of Dodge. But he was so successful at his business that his two sons-in-laws didn't want to leave with him because they didn't take him seriously. His two daughters and his wife left, but on their way out, his wife started thinking about Neiman Sachs, Bloomingdale's. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. Two daughters had an incestuous relationship with their father. If he would have just won his family and taught them to replicate themselves, that would have been six. If each one of them would have won one, that would have doubled and made 12. Abraham would have found 10, and Sodom and Gomorrah would still be on the map. But when the righteous are nowhere to be found, when that Christianity has been privatized in the culture, then the culture is in trouble because God will accept the righteous as a down payment against the unrighteous.
Well, success certainly isn't wrong, but success can cloud our judgment and reduce our effectiveness because of distractions and erroneous determinations in life, leading us to pursue all the wrong things for all the wrong motives. And as Tony just reminded us from the story of Lot and his success in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, well, obviously God is not impressed with great business success for all the wrong reasons. And here at FCCI, we are committed to coming alongside Christian business leaders to transform the world through Christ, to be servant leaders who help other servant leaders operate businesses for God's glory. If you're not connected to a Christian business leadership group, please learn more at fcci.org and consider linking arms with hundreds of other Christian business owners and leaders. Thanks for listening, and may God empower your journey as you lead a company for Christ.